We're back.
We're back.
Welcome to the Everything Bagel podcast. This is Emily.
And this is Shelby.
Okay.
We are going to have lots of fun today because this is the whole reason why we started this podcast.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
And hopefully more people are listening to this because I think we've gotten everybody that we know to read this book. And it is called A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Yes.
ACOTAR. We're finally here. We're doing it.
I mean, Sarah J. Maas is the number one selling author right now.
Yep. She sold like, I can't remember what the statistic was, like either almost 4 million copies or like,
yeah,
I think that's what it was.
Wild this past year.
Or books or whatever, 4 million books.
These books just blew up, I feel like, over the past year or two, just randomly. Before we get into ACOTAR.
I just saw something on TikTok, so... And it was actually kind of interesting, and I thought you guys would think it's interesting, too. So, we all know that Trump had an attempt assassination, which the media is calling Wild. It a shooting. And it wasn't a shooting. It was an attempt to assassinate him.
100%.
So, I saw this on TikTok. So...
Obviously, it's true.
Yeah, obviously, it's true. But take it with a grain of salt. I actually did check things just on Google. There was one thing that I couldn't find the exact date, and they had an exact date, but it's...
Good job.
It's...
Proud of you for fact-checking.
That's my fact-check is Google.
That's the great.
The first search that comes up. You know
what? I believe it.
Anyway. So, these are coincidences. Coincidences between Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy. And I mean, if you don't know, those are two presidents that got assassinated. I think the only two presidents. Is it? I don't know. I could be wrong. Anyway.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. History's not my strong
subject. These are subject. Me either. Oh, that's why Kristen Hannah is our go-to for our history facts.
Yeah.
Anyway, these were super, super weird coincidences. So the first one is Lincoln got elected into Congress in 1846 and Kennedy got elected into Congress 1946. So it was like 100 years apart from each other. And that was the one where there wasn't like a certain date for Kennedy when he got elected into it that I could find.
Mm-hmm.
I think it said 1970 or 1947, not 1946. So that one could be wrong, but still kind of weird. Then Lincoln got elected president of the United States in 1860 and Kennedy got elected as president in 1960. So that was also a year apart from each other. And that one is certain. For certain, they both were assassinated in public on a Friday, and they both died due to a bullet to the head. It just gets weirder. Weird. Both of them have 7 letters in their last name, Lincoln and Kennedy. Both of their assassins have a total of 15 letters.
Hey, I also have a last name with 7 letters. Coincidence? I think not.
Are you going to get assassinated or
you never know.
You going to run for president?
Friday's in 4 days. Coincidence? I think not. There's 4 letters in your last name. Friday's in 4 days.
What about my maiden name?
8.
I counted 7. Can I not count? Wait.
Do I not know how to spell your maiden name?
Oh, 8.
Okay.
I'm dumb. That was wow. Oh, wow. I'm in the clear, though. That's good. Okay. Anyway, both of their assassins have 15 letters total in their name, like first, middle, last. And then this one kind of freaked me out a little bit. So Lincoln.
Wait, me too.
Emily, my stop. Full,
my full name has 15 letters.
That is weird. So you're going to be assassinated and being an assassin.
Correct. I'm going to assassinate myself.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going.
Okay. Their assassins had a... Oh, wait. I already read that. Lincoln was killed in a theater named Ford Theater. Kennedy was killed in Ford's model called Lincoln, the car.
You know, I think I've heard that before. That's crazy.
That one is the craziest coincidence to me.
Proof that we live in a simulation.
Ooh. That gave me the chills. I can't think about that. Stop. I hate that. No. Okay. Twilight Zone. For real, though. Sometimes I feel like I'm living in the Twilight Zone. Okay. This one was kind of weird, too. So, when they got married, both of the presidents were in their 30s. And both of their wives were in their 20s. Okay. When they each got not pregnant. Married.
Okay.
So that one was kind of weird. And that was the last one. But the car and the theater one kind of freaked me out. I was like, how does that happen? Ford Theater and the car is a Ford that is named Lincoln. Like,
wild.
What a coincidence.
We should do an episode about conspiracies.
We should.
So that'd be so fun.
It would be fun.
Let us know if you'd like that.
There actually are some conspiracies that I would like to look into more. One that I think is interesting is that mermaids are real.
Oh my gosh. Look, when it comes to the ocean, I think anything's possible, to be
literally,
honest.
Literally, though. I actually...
There's so little we know about the deep ocean.
That would be cool if mermaids were real.
But also, if they're real, they'd be terrifying.
Yeah, they would probably be really scary and, like, want to eat me. Like a shark. They're actually the sea monster that eats sharks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my conspiracy. Anyway, let's get into it.
Guys, ACOTAR, A Court of Thorns and Roses. Okay, we're going to say ACOTAR a lot. Just know that that's the...
A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Okay.
We're going to go into non-spoiler stuff to try to convince you to read this. Guys, Emily, how many people have you... like gotten to read this?
A few. There's a few people that are like, I'm going to read it, or they started and they're anyways. What about
I've gotten
you?
So many.
I think you've gotten way
I
more.
Just tried to count, but I can't even think. I think it's like a little under 10.
The difference is your family actually listens to you when you tell them to read something. Anyways, wait, before we get into the non-spoilers, I kind of want... Do you want to talk about our reading journeys really fast? Just, like, how we got into it?
Sure.
Because I feel like we're all living parallel lives. Like, ACOTAR pulled so many women, mostly, out of, like, this reading slump is so random.
It's the Sarah J. Maas effect. Someone talked about it on TikTok, and it's so true. Like... You might have been reading books when you were younger, and then you stopped for a little bit. Maybe you read, like, the Divergent books, Hunger Games books, and then you stopped. And then these books started getting big again, and you just haven't stopped reading since you started reading ACOTAR.
Yeah, it's like a canon event. But for me, it was Fourth Wing. I kept seeing people post about this book. Yeah. So the Fourth Wing and Iron Flame went super viral on BookTok and Instagram. So I had no idea what it was. I didn't know it was fantasy. I didn't know anything about it. And I was like, what the heck? I was obsessed, thoroughly obsessed. And Shelby was like, you need to read ACOTAR. Actually, I read ACOTAR because everyone on Reddit told me after my Iron Flame hangover, ACOTAR would cure me.
And you saw me post a Be Real.
And then I saw you post a Be Real, and I was like, oh, like, that's the book everyone's telling me to read. And then I read it, and I was hooked so hard. Yeah. And now I'm never going to be the same.
Same.
It's altered my life.
My reading journey, or I guess reading again journey,
Yeah.
It was a little different. So I have a friend that is really into reading, and she like would always tell me and our other friends, like, you need to read this book, you should try this book, like whatever book that she was currently reading. And she never, none of us really ever started reading until like we all started reading at the same time.
Your what? Nails match A Court of Thorns and Roses. Stop it.
No.
Wait, let's take a picture.
What the heck?
McDonald's or A Court of Thorns and Roses? I like A Court of Thorns and Roses
better. My nails are red and yellow, and Emily told me that they look like McDonald's. she's a bully. I'm getting bullied over here.
Okay, sorry. I got so distracted. Okay. What were you saying?
So, oh, yeah. My friend that likes to read kept telling us, you need to read this book. You need to read this book. And we never did. And then finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. Because everybody was talking about ACOTAR. I thought they were saying Avatar for the longest time. And I was like, I don't think I can jump into a book series right away. So, like, what are some other books? So, she told me to read Happy Place by Emily Henry, and I actually really liked it. And then I read It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover, and I loved that book. And so I was like, okay, what should I read next? And she's like, you should try ACOTAR. And she was so subtle about it. So subtle. And
not I'm like, us why, being like, you have to read
why
this.
Weren't you freaking out? Like, telling me you have to read this, you know, like, read this now. So I read ACOTAR, and I was consumed. I was obsessed. I don't think I've ever read so much in my life. And, like, just throughout the whole series, it was literally the best. Changed my life. Changed our whole personality.
And it makes sense that I love ACOTAR, Fourth Wing, all of these romantic-y books, because when I was younger, because I haven't picked up a book for pleasure in like 10 years, since I was like 15, 16, was probably the last time I just read for fun that wasn't like a self-help book or something like that. I don't think those books are fun, by the way.
I don't know if I'll ever
they're so boring.
Read a self-help book again.
They're great. They're great. Anyways, it makes sense because when I was in middle school and high school, I loved all of the fantasy books. So I grew up on Harry Potter, Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief, Maze Runner, Divergent. Like, I love all of those books. So I'm like, it kind of makes sense that now, 10 years later, I'm picking up fantasy again. And that's my favorite genre.
Yeah. I was obsessed with the Hunger Games books. I guess I read the first Harry Potter book. My mom remembers me reading it. But I don't remember reading it.
Shelby needs to read Harry Potter, you guys.
I do need to read Harry Potter. All of my students, I asked my, like, 7-8-year-old students. I was like, okay, while we're stretching, either say your favorite book or your favorite movie. And so they were all saying their favorite book. One of them said Harry Potter. And they were all like, oh, I love Harry Potter too. And they're like, oh, me too. I've read that. I really liked it. And so I was like, you guys really liked it? Should I read it? And they were like, yes, read it. It was the cutest thing ever.
Harry Potter's forever, like, the best series ever.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I know.
I have no complaints.
Well, if there's 8-year-olds over here reading it, I can read it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Shelby, you can, actually. I believe in you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll get around to it at some point.
But anyways, ACOTAR is romantic-y, so
heavy on the romance.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I really enjoyed it, because I really like the romance side of it, but the fantasy side is so fun. There's a lot of people. So some people like this book, some people don't like this book. Whenever we tell people to start the series, we say you have to commit to the first and the second book. And if you still don't like it after the second book, then you probably won't like the rest of the series.
Yeah. If anybody tells you, oh, I tried ACOTAR and I didn't like it, you need to ask them if they finished the second book.
Yeah.
The only people I know that said they hated it or didn't like it did not finish the second book. Guys, I'm telling you right now, you have to commit. Even if you're hating it, you have to just commit to the first two books. If you hate the second book, I'd say stop reading.
Yeah, because you're not going to like the rest of the series if you hated the second book.
Second book is so good, though.
But some people also say that it's kind of slow. Mm-hmm. The first book, I personally didn't think it was that slow. I really liked getting to know the characters and the world that they were in and just kind of like the storyline. But that's kind of why I think people don't like the first book as much, is because it is slow. But then once you get to the last, like, third of the book, it's super, super intense. And then it kind of just keeps going from there for the rest of the series.
The first book is really just setting up the rest of the series. So if you're like, I don't find the storyline interesting, the real storyline honestly doesn't start till book two. So just keep reading. The first book is kind of a remake of Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. So when I was reading it at first, I was kind of rolling my eyes because I'm like, it's literally Beauty and the Beast. And then I realized it's kind of intentional. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
It's for sure intentional.
Then I like it.
I really liked that aspect of it because it kind of just brings you back to like that nostalgia of your childhood and you feel a little bit more connected to the story because of that. Is there anything else before we get into spoilers? That's
pretty much it. There is smut in these books. And I didn't know that when I picked up Fourth Wing either. And I was like, what is happening? I have never read that in my life.
This book, the first book, A Court of Thorns and Roses, is more mild than the rest of them. The last book, A Court of Silver Flames, definitely has the most smut. So if you're not into that, you can skip those chapters or those paragraphs.
Yeah. You can definitely, if you're listening to this and you're like, don't like that, you can skip them.
You can skip them.
Yeah.
But they don't happen for like a whole chapter, usually. There might be some in A Court of Silver Flames that's a whole chapter.
The beginning of the second book
is
the worst.
It's the worst.
Just don't even read those smut chapters there. Yeah. I was re-listening to it recently, and I'm like, I can't do this. I actually cannot listen to this. It's so bad.
No, they're the worst.
But guys, just overlook it. Just read the series.
Yeah. This is just us convincing you to read it. If you've been thinking about it, just do it. Commit to the first and second book. And trust us.
And do not listen to the graphic audio.
No, whatever you do, do not get graphic audio.
It's so bad.
I recommend reading the smut scenes versus listening to them, because even if it's not graphic audio, it's cringy.
Listening is it's so uncomfortable. Anyways, we're going to get into spoilers for people who have read this.
Okay.
So excited.
So if you don't want spoilers, sign off.
All right, see ya. This book honestly has like the least amount of content to talk about. This will probably be the shortest ACOTAR episode.
Yeah. Second book might have to have part one, part two.
Dude, for real. If you know, you know. If you know, you know.
Yes.
But that's just because it's setting up the world, you're getting to know the characters.
What were your initial thoughts on like the three main characters in this book? Feyre, Tamlin, Lucien.
I liked all of them. I was just reading this with no thoughts in my head. So I'm just enjoying the journey. Yeah. I'm like, oh, cool. Feyre's cool. Tamlin's cool. Lucien's cool. Just no thoughts.
Well, initially, when the beast or whatever came into their home after Feyre shot the wolf, and then she like stood up and was like, it was me. I did it. I was like, this girl, excuse my language, is a badass.
Yeah,
she is. I love her.
Yeah. I do like Feyre. A lot of people I've talked to actually don't like her.
Yeah.
Look, no character's perfect.
No.
It's okay if you don't like her. I think this series is more so about the relationship building rather than the characters. Throne of Glass, on the other hand, Sarah J. Maas's other series, is definitely about, if you want characters, better characters, Throne of Glass.
Yes.
Character development. But this book, the relationships are just so good. The romance is so good.
Initially with Tamlin, for me,
Tampon,
I didn't love him, honestly. Mm. He just like wasn't it for me, but I was like, okay, we're just going along for the ride. I guess I'll see what happens. And then I really liked Lucien. yeah. at first. I'm like, okay, I like this character. He's kind of playing hard to get, but I could see them becoming really good friends and working together. Yeah. And he's honestly the most underrated character by in this far. Whole series.
Yeah.
Like, he deserves so much more.
He really does.
But Sarah J. Maas actually says that Lucien is one of her favorite characters.
Love that.
So I do think that he will get a good story.
And if you're listening to this and you've only read book one, there's just so much more to uncover about Lucien.
So much.
He's such an interesting, mysterious, dynamic character who has been through a lot of trauma. And we love him. And when I was reading this the first time, I actually wasn't sure about Lucien. I didn't know if he was going to end up being good or bad.
Yeah, I actually didn't get that vibe. Actually, I think I did, because at first I was like,
I was just unsure.
Is he actually here to help her, or is he just kind of playing mm-hmm. his own game?
But when he helped her trap the Suriel, I was like, okay, we like Lucien.
Yeah, like,
he because told that her was how to do so it. Funny. He was like, well, I can't help you, but if I were to help you, this is what I would do. And I'm just going to leave this knife here on a totally unrelated note. I, like, loved that.
And he kind of just let Feyre be Feyre. And,
yeah,
they, like, they're very much themselves around each other. And I think that's why I liked their relationship so much.
Yeah.
Is because they kind of just right off the bat, well, not right off the bat, but they just trusted each other. They yeah. both were a little bit iffy at first, mm-hmm. but then they kind of realized, okay, I think I can trust this person.
I bet there's a fan fiction written out there somewhere on the internet.
Probably.
Where Feyre ends up with Lucien instead.
I would actually love a Lucien point of view from the first book. Because I bet there's so much, like, gosh. Inner dialogue from him that was happening. I
would love that. There's just so much we don't know about
like,
him.
I wonder if he actually liked Feyre for Tamlin.
Yeah.
Or if he was just a loyal guy and
yeah.
there to
that would be do whatever amazing. For Tamlin. I would cry if Sarah J. Maas released Lucien's point of view.
I would love that. Especially in the first book and the third book. I would actually really like a Lucien point of view. Second book, he was kind of just wandering around.
Yeah, he wasn't as relevant in the second book. But yeah. Anyway, moving on.
So, we get further into the book. You learn more about all of these characters. You see a lot more of the Spring Court. Feyre is wondering about her family and if they're okay. And Tamlin promises her that they are okay. There's a point where she actually goes back to them and sees mm-hmm. that they are okay. And they're kind of like just living their life without Feyre. And she's like, okay, well, I guess I don't really belong anywhere.
And doesn't she go back and realize that Tamlin had given them this like,
new
beautiful
home. Yeah.
Like, he'd basically made their lives extremely comfortable. Like, they were living large again.
Yeah.
And she was kind of shocked, if I remember right.
Yeah, because she didn't believe
like,
him.
Oh my gosh, like, he actually, I think he cares about my family.
Yeah.
I think she started falling for him more after she saw everything that he had done for her family. Mm-hmm. And was like, oh, like, maybe I did make the right choice. Like, my family's living better without me.
Yeah.
And it's all because of Tamlin.
Yeah. So she kind of gained some trust for him. Yeah. And we also gained some trust for him as a reader.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of when you start to like him. And you're like, okay, this is a good situation. He's helping her. He's protecting her. He has maybe some feelings for her and wants to love her and take care of her. And then there's this one moment where we have an outsider from one of the other courts come into the story, and it's at Spring Court, right? And this is when, was Tamlin kind of trying, he was trying to hide Feyre. This is when Rhysand comes and visits Spring Court.
Yes.
And Tamlin was trying, or Lucien was trying
and
to hide Feyre.
Isn't it during, it's during Kalan Mai?
I think it was before that.
No. The first time she meets Rysand was at Calan Mai. Then he pays them a visit later. Because she, I know for sure the first time she meets Rysand is at Calan Mai. Then she doesn't exactly know who he is, but when he comes back to visit the Spring Court and Tamlin's she's trying like, okay, to I glamour recognize her, him. That's she's right. like, oh, that's the guy I met. And she's like, I didn't realize he was a High Lord.
Remember? Okay, yes. I thought those were flip-flopped for some reason. Well, let's talk about Calan Mai for a second then. So, well, first of all, Tamlin is like, I don't want you out during this event. Just stay at home. This is kind of when we start to see him being a little bit more protective over Feyre.
Wait, real quick. What even is Calan Mai? Like, anyways. Because remember, like, she meets those guys at Calan Mai.
Yeah.
And they have ill intentions. Creepy. Yeah. And they're, like, trying to pull her away and when we meet Rysand.
Yeah. And then Rysand comes in and... And that's when he says, oh, there you are. I've been looking for you. Kind of trying to kind of throw them off. Like, oh, like, she's mine. I've already claimed her. Yeah. Don't
mess with her. So he kind of saves her. And you're like, okay. You're like, wait. Is this guy good or bad? Because he's given off very dark, bad vibes. But she also describes him as the most beautiful.
Yes.
Person she's ever seen in her life. Uh-huh. And I'm like, whoa,
like, she's a little bit stunned and whoa, she's like,
sorry, tampon,
wait, this is the most beautiful man I've ever seen. And you're like, wait a second, what's happening here? So we have another character that comes into play, and then what I was trying to say is when he comes back, obviously I'm a Vampire Diaries fan, in that moment he was majorly giving me Damon vibes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I think I like this guy because I was obsessed with Damon and he's giving me the same vibe. And I, from that point, I was like, I want to learn more about this guy.
Yeah. So when he comes back, we learn who he is. And Tamlin says that he's the High Lord of the Night Court. And that he's very bad, basically.
And is that when Feyre gives him a fake name? She says, oh, my name is Claire. So. Claire Bedor.
Yeah. And he believes her.
He believes her just to throw him off. Because, I mean, she's in a completely different world. She can't trust anyone. And she's actually kind of putting a lot of trust in Tamlin and Lucien. And then this mystery, dark
mystery man
male comes in. And so that's why she gives him another name.
We do love the Damon vibes.
We do. Okay.
This is the turning point of the book. Tamlin sends her away.
Yeah.
He's like, you need to go back home. And before she leaves, he says, I love you. And she's just like, cool, okay. cool.
Thanks.
She says, thank you. But she does love him.
Uh-huh.
She just doesn't say it.
She doesn't say it.
And then she goes back home and she's like, this isn't cool. I've got to go back and save Tamlin. She's like, who better equipped than me, a teenage human, to save the entire magical kingdom?
Because we find out that he does he get taken? I can't remember. It has been a hot minute since we've read.
It's been too long. The details are blurring.
He goes under the mountain because there's the curse, and there was a certain amount of time that the curse had to or that the curse was, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm blanking. It had to be lifted after a certain amount of time. And
500 years or something.
Right? Yes. And he had to get a girl that took a life from a fairy to fall in love with him and tell him, I love you. And
in
if
order
that,
to break the curse.
Yeah, in order to break the curse.
And so the fact that she doesn't say, I love you, you find that a little bit later on, you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, like,
if she had just said it back, everything would have been fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, she goes back home. Then she's like, I can't do this. I've got to go do something. I can't just sit here.
I have to go save him.
So she goes back to the Spring Court. Everyone's gone. And Alice tells her everything. And this is the point where I was like, mind blown.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Alice tells her, yeah, if, you know, in order to break the curse, Tamlin would have had to get a human to fall in love with him.
Yeah, but
and there's a lot of other details regarding that.
He couldn't tell her anything because that was kind of a part of the deal. Yeah,
right.
And there was one major detail that Alice wasn't allowed to tell her either, that Feyre had to kind of figure out. And throughout the book...
I don't remember that.
Yeah. The one major detail.
Oh.
We'll talk about that a little later. But throughout the whole book, you're kind of finding out about this creepy lady, Amarantha. And I don't even know if they say her name until, like, halfway through the book or closer to the end.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, this mysterious weird evil that's happening and kind of taking control of all of Perithian.
And nobody wants to, like, speak her name. It's like Voldemort.
Yeah.
It's like she who shall not be named.
And so Feyre finds out about all of this stuff. Alice tells her all of this information. And then Feyre's like, well, I'm going to go save him. And Alice is like, okay, I can guide you there.
Alice is like, you're psycho.
Yeah.
But there's no stopping Feyre. So Alice is like, well, if you're going to kill yourself, then be my guest. I can
guide you, but I'm not going in with you. Yeah. Honestly, Alice is our girl. I liked her.
Oh, Alice is the best. I don't want to spoil anything, but I wish she had been more prevalent in the rest of the books, personally.
I know. She honestly was such a good character in that first book.
She's a hero.
And then she kind of just fizzles out. She tells Feyre, don't make any bargains, don't drink the fairy wine. There's just a lot of things you probably shouldn't do.
And she's like, she literally says, whatever you do, do not do those two things.
Yes.
What does Feyre do?
Makes she bargains, does those two things.
Drinks the fairy wine.
The memes of that are actually so funny.
Immediately makes bargains and drinks the wine.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
She's in desperate conditions.
But little did we know, those things saved her life.
Yeah.
She would have died if she hadn't have done those two things.
Yeah.
Especially the bargain part.
So let's get into when she goes under the mountain. I was so pulled in at this point. I did not want to stop reading, but
I was kind of like, what the heck is happening?
Obviously, there were life obligations that I had to do, so I had to stop reading.
Yeah.
But it was getting crazy.
Yeah, this just flipped the whole story, and you're like, oh, snap.
And it was so intense. Like, it physically got my heart rate up just reading these parts. So Feyre goes under the mountain, and she's just this human girl, 19-year-old human girl that is going to lift this fae curse and save her boyfriend. Her fae boyfriend that is a beast. Anyway.
We call him Tampon, by the way. So yeah, that's his name.
We call him Tampon. That's his nickname. And if you know, you know. So we
it's,
get...
It's because when you type Tamlin, it auto-corrects to Tampon. And I think everybody had the same experience. Everyone on the internet calls him Tampon.
Did I write trails in the note?
I was going to ask you what that is. What is trails?
The trials.
Trials. Okay. So there's three trials under the mountain that Amarantha's like, if you get through these three trials, then I'll lift the curse.
But before that, she tells her a riddle. And she says, if you figure out the riddle, you don't have to do the trials. Mm-hmm. So she tells her the riddle, and honestly...
You guys, the riddle.
A
lot of people have beef with it, and I kind of do too.
I couldn't figure it out.
Okay.
I had to ask someone. I was like,
please
what?
Let us know when you're reading this book. Did you immediately know the answer to the riddle? Because most people did. They're like, that was so dumb.
Or were you like me?
It's so cliche.
And you just couldn't figure it out to save your life. Literally, I'm Feyre. Couldn't figure it out.
I said it was either love or death.
Mm.
And it was love. So I was like, okay. I didn't think it was going to be that easy.
Yeah.
So I kind of doubted it. I'm like, no, it can't be.
Riddles are always just easy. Right, what's right in front of you.
Yeah.
And I can freaking figure it out. But I'm, okay, like, very, Shelby. I'm like instant gratification. I have to know. And so since I couldn't figure it out right then, I was like, okay, someone just tell me. I need to know. And then the book tells you.
And let's not forget that Feyre is illiterate.
Yes. It's like one of the best parts of this.
She can't read.
She can't read. But, I mean, Amarantha just told her the riddle. But there is one trial. So, we get into the first trial. And this is the Minidgard worm. First of all,
the worm.
This worm is supposed to be, like, extremely scary. And I imagined it as the worm in SpongeBob. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know.
We'll post the meme. Why he friend shape if he not friend?
That is what I was imagining. So I like was kind of laughing at that part, but I also, the way that her brain worked was crazy. I loved it. I lived for these parts. So she has to defeat, she has to kill this ginormous worm in a bunch of dirt and worm poop, and it's like a maze, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she's like turning corners and trying to run away from it, and then just light bulb moment, she figures it out, and you're like, oh, what is she gonna figure out? And
she basically makes a trap for the worm with the bones of the other people,
of the dead people,
and it makes sense because her one skill is hunting and trapping monsters and animals and stuff. That's why
the only useful sister.
Meanwhile, Nesta and Elaine are just doing absolutely nothing at home.
Yeah.
No biggie.
Absolutely nothing.
No biggie. Just send reading her smutty books. Feyre's the youngest, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No worries. We'll just send the baby sister out to kill the wild beasts and we'll just sit
for
out here.
Real, though. No the worries, worst. And no the worries. Dad. Ugh. That stupid dad. Papa I hated Archeron. Him in the first book. I was like, you are the biggest pussy.
Yep.
Although his knee is destroyed, it's shattered.
Yeah.
Anyway, first trial, she builds this trap and then she makes like a ladder, right?
Something like that. Like she's climbing the wall.
She climbs the wall.
She like sticks the bones in the mud wall to climb, and then
once meanwhile, Rysand is like smirking and he's like, ooh, Feyre. Look at you go.
He's very impressed, to say the least.
He's very impressed.
About her hunting and entrapment skills.
Did he make the bet before this trial?
I was just going to talk about that.
I think he did. It was either before the first or the second trial, but I'm pretty sure it was before the first trial that everybody made a bet if she was going to live or die, and he was the only one that bet that she was gonna live. Right,
and that part, she was like, "Oh, interesting. Why did Rysand bet on me?"
And no she else didn't. Did? She didn't find that out until after. But eventually, she kills the worm, and you're like, "Yeah, go girl.
You go. Girl.
You go girl."
Okay. In between the first and second trial is when she makes a bargain with the bargain with Rysand.
Because she's seriously injured. She's covered in gross. Oh, and that was another part of that trial where she covered herself in all of the mud and the poop.
So that
and that's when Rysand was like, "Yeah, she just made herself invisible because the worm can't see; it can only smell."
Right, right, right.
So that was a huge part of that trial, and I was like, she's girl, I couldn't have thought of all poo. This stuff. How did she know?
Yeah, she's smart. Gotta give it to the girl.
Yeah, gotta give it to her.
She's crafty.
She is.
Our crafty girl, Feyre.
But she's in her little cell, just injured, in pain.
She severely hurts her arm.
Yes.
I think
it's broken.
Yeah, it's broken and also stabbed.
Yeah.
And actually, this is reminding me of 1883 because if you get stabbed severely and there's also feces involved, it will get infected very, very bad. And you probably are going to die if you don't get it immediately taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in her cell. She's basically dying. She's like in and out of consciousness. Rysand comes down there. He's like, I'll make a deal with you. I will heal your arm in exchange for...
like 2 weeks.
2 weeks every month, you coming to stay with me at the night court.
Mm-hmm.
And she was I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, she's not going to make this bargain after Alice told her, do not make bargains.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, do not make bargains.
But...
and she makes a bargain, but we find out later, I think in the second book, this isn't a spoiler, she would have died.
Yeah.
She would have 100% died.
If she hadn't have made the bargain.
Yes, because she was, like, fevering, it was infected.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to die. So... but you're frustrated, but also there was no other option for her.
They kind of negotiate a little bit, and they agree to 1 week a month. Because like, I'm not... I can't remember if originally he asked for 2 weeks or more, but she says that's too much time, and I will only do 1 week a month. So that's what they agree on. They make the bargain. He cleans her up with his magical powers and heals her, and then there's a tattoo... that forms up her arm.
Anytime you make a deal with somebody in the Fey world, there is a tattoo that magically appears.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when the eye appears on her hand, right?
I think so.
So there's kind of an eye, which is important because in the second trial, that eye starts burning when she's about to choose the wrong answer.
Yeah.
So she's given a multiple choice question, but she has no idea what it says. Or she's given the question, but she can't read the answers.
Yeah. Because she can't read. So there's, like, three, what would you call, like, switches
or whatever. Yeah, levers or something.
Yeah, levers. And there's, like, something that she has to read mm-hmm. above all of them, but she can't read them, so she can't. Like, discern which one is correct.
So there's literally nothing she can do.
But meanwhile, Lucien is on the other side, mm-hmm. chained up to the ground.
That's right.
And there's, like, hot spikes or something coming down. And if she doesn't do it in time, they both die.
Yeah.
And if she chooses the wrong one, Lucien dies, I think. Something like that. I can't remember the exact details.
Yeah.
But it's not just her life on the line, it's also Lucien's life on the line. So this is when she goes to pull one of the levers, and then that eye kind of, like, stings her, burns her, and she's like, oh, okay, maybe I should try a different one. Then she goes to try a different one, and it happens again, and then she's like, well, this is weird, like, why is this happening, you know, what's going on? And then eventually she pulls the last one, and it doesn't do that. And that was the correct one. So that's kind of the moment where you're like, I think Rysan helped her out a little bit there.
Yeah. And at this point, you're very curious about this Rysan character. I'm like, okay, what is happening? Why is he helping her? I really was not sure about this guy. Like, I was thinking, what are his ulterior motives here?
Yeah, what is he going to use her for?
Yeah, because he's trying to help her, but... then I think it's before the third trial.
Well, can we talk about just, like, things in between the trial that happens?
Yeah, there are a few things.
Does each trial happen, like, a month apart? Because I think they happen, like, with
time in between the trials.
Yeah. And I don't remember why. Happening with the moon or something. Okay. So we have time in between for her to kind of rest and heal. They have, like, parties under the mountain. That's when she drinks the fairy wine. It's actually Rysand that ends up giving her the fairy wine and that fairy wine.
He's like, drink this. And she's like, no. And he's like, you have to.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay.
So she just does it. He also paints, or is it... who paints her? Tamlin or Rysand?
Rysand has his servants paint her.
Oh, okay.
So they, like, clean her up every night that he's going to take her out dancing. He's like, we're going to go party. She's like, okay, weird. So he sends her to his two servants and they wash her up.
Paint her.
Cover her entire body in blue paint, right?
Yeah.
And put her in this very scandalous, basically nothing dress. Just
cloth.
And
he paints
and it's
her.
He says it's so that nobody else touches her.
Well, so he can see if somebody else touches her.
And he kind of, in a way, makes her his consort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of gross.
Like, his plaything.
And at this point in the book, I'm, like, really disliking him.
Yeah.
Because it's disgusting.
Yeah, you're like, why is he doing this? Like, she doesn't deserve this. She's going through a horrible time. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of this nasty character. But meanwhile, Tamlin, is doing absolutely nothing.
Okay, we need to talk about this. Because a lot of people complain. Why didn't Tamlin do anything? Look.
And I guess it's because he's under Amarantha's control. If you
remember, Amarantha took away, like, basically all of his power. She took away most of people's magic. Most of the Fey magic.
Yeah.
Rhysand obviously has a little bit because he healed Feyre. But you have to remember, she took away, like, most of the power. Mm-hmm. And also, while I was reading this, I was thinking, to me, it makes sense that Tamlin's not doing anything. Because he doesn't want Amarantha to know just how much he actually cares about Feyre, because he knows that she will use it against him and hurt Feyre to hurt him. So I understand it to a certain point.
But it's like...
But he literally does nothing.
Lucien goes down to heal Feyre and help her. Rhysand goes down to help her.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing their part. Meanwhile, Tamlin is... literally just a rock. Like, he is a wall. He has no facial expressions, complete poker face. Mm-hmm. He's not helping her at all. He's not saying a single word. He's not giving her any eye contact. So it kind of makes her lose a little bit of hope. Like, am I where I'm supposed to be? Like, am I doing this for him? Why isn't he giving me anything, any hope?
Yeah. And then... Tampon finally has an opportunity away from Amarantha one night while they're partying. He's able to get Feyre into a side room alone. And what does he do? Not save her. Not plan. Like, he doesn't even barely talk to her.
No.
Like, hello.
He just jumps her.
Let's concoct a plan to get us out of here. Let's make out. Correct.
But in that moment... In that moment, you're kind of like, finally, like, this is his moment. He can talk to her, be with her, but then he doesn't. And then
he just jumps her bones.
Yeah. And it's like, I get it. Weird. Maybe they're horny, whatever. They have been apart for so long. But maybe say something, you know, like, I'm sorry I haven't, like, given you anything. Yeah. But this is our time now. I don't know.
Super weird.
Super weird.
Rhysand comes in and finds them. And you're like, oh, crap.
And he's going to tell on them.
Then Rhysand, because remember, she has the body paint. So now Tamlin's handprints are all over her.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he kind of has to cover, and he's protecting Tamlin and Feyre.
Yeah, so Rhysand comes in and basically, like, starts kissing Feyre, and at first you're like, ew, like,
because he literally shoves his tongue down her throat. Yeah. And, like, how I imagined it was like making circles in her whole mouth.
Ew.
Because that's how it was described. I was like, okay, why did he have to be that aggressive?
Yeah. But then you realize, like, yeah, he didn't need to be aggressive.
No,
he just needed
to put his scent on her and put his hands on her.
So he's basically covering up for Tamlin and Feyre.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's pretending that she's his plaything. And so it fits the narrative that Rhysand's trying to push here.
And so Tamlin leaves. Because I think Rhysand is like, you need to get out of here. Yeah. She doesn't see you. So he leaves.
Yeah.
And then Amarantha sees them. Correct? Or maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think Amarantha ever saw Tamlin and Feyre or whatever.
No. Rhysand and Feyre.
Rhysand and Feyre? I don't remember.
I don't either.
And then you also have to remember, everybody calls Rhysand Amarantha's whore.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what he is to Amarantha.
Yeah.
And you guys, if you have not read past this book, you just have to know that there are so many parts in this book that you think are not
important,
but after you find out certain things in book two, you come back and, like, so many things in this book are light bulb moments. You're like, oh,
like, that makes no sense.
Way, like,
so many things, you guys. So after when we do our Mist and Fury episode, we'll come back to a lot of these points
and connecting things.
Which I wish I could talk about right now, but I can't. Okay.
We forgot one part that was actually really, really sad under the mountain when Amarantha asks for this girl's name or whatever.
Oh,
and yeah. Rhysand goes and gets Claire. And so he gets Claire, brings her to Amarantha because that's what Feyre said her name was. And Amarantha decides to kill her. Does she behead her? Or is she hanged?
I don't remember.
Because I remember she's, like, displayed up on the wall.
Yeah.
Basically.
And it's really gruesome. Like, the way she died was not quick.
No.
And so, Feyre is, like,
she feels really bad about that.
She's sick to her stomach that she did that.
Like, she ruined her life, her family's life. Mm-hmm. And then, so we just want to jump back to that because I thought that was an important part really of the story and it was sad.
Okay.
But moving on to more of the end of the book.
Right. So I'll just skip through this part. As we know, she completes the trials and the riddle at the same time.
Oh, we didn't even finish the last trial.
Yeah. So she does the last trial, which was killing people. Yeah. Which is really sad.
So there were three people with a bag on their head and... Mm-hmm. She had to stab them. So they take the first bag.
In the heart.
It's a normal person, a civilian. And she's like, okay, I guess I have to do this. So she does it. Second person does it. Third person takes the bag off their head. And it's Tamlin. Tamlin. I gasped. I was like, oh, no. Like, I did not expect that.
I knew it was going to be somebody.
Well, I knew it was going to be someone. But I did not think. I thought it was going to be Lucien. I didn't think it was going to be Tamlin.
Yeah.
But then this is the moment where she thinks back. So she kind of takes a moment to hesitate, think about things like, am I going to have to do this? You know? But then she remembers there was something that Alice left out that she purposely couldn't tell me, but she wanted to make that known that there was something. So she was thinking back on conversations with Tamlin and Lucien, and she remembers them talking about how he had a heart of stone. And so this was all kind of a part of the plan, a part of the curse.
So in that moment, she's like, okay, I can stab him in the heart.
And he won't die.
He won't die because his heart is made of stone.
So she does it. And I think right before she does it, that's when she figures out the riddle.
Yeah. And she's like, love. The riddle. I'm going to stab him anyways. I don't know.
Well, she figures out the riddle, and then she's like, I should be free, and Amarantha just gets mad, and she's like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to lift the curse. And so everybody's mad, and they're like, let her free, let her free. Like, she did it. She did all of the trials, and she even figured out the riddle. And so I remember being so, so mad. I was like, just let her go.
So... she stabs Tamlin, and then Amarantha stabs Feyre. Is that what happens?
I think so.
And so Feyre basically dies, or almost dies. Mm-hmm. And when she's dying, all of a sudden she is, like, having an out-of-body experience, and all of a sudden she's inside Rhysand's body, looking at herself, dying, through his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And she can also feel his panic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like... whoa, it's because of their bargain, right? You know, yeah, they're connected now because of that bargain they made under the mountain. And so that was very interesting.
And Tamlin is like holding her because she's dying and he's just crying. But stupid man, you should have done something before that.
And the way that Feyre lives, yeah, true. He's like, oh no, she's dead. Well, you could have done something about it.
Yeah.
But he's going to do something about it now. Because all of the High Lords take a tiny bit of their own power and give it to Feyre. And that, like, all the High Lords combined bring her back to life.
She gets a little bit of each of their power.
And we kill Amarantha, which is, like, the best part.
Tamlin ends up killing her, right?
Yeah, doesn't he throw... a spear or something.
Something like that. He gets so upset and kills her. And you're kind of like, yeah, like finally, finally, thank you.
So he finally does something useful. And good job, Tampon.
Good job.
Gold star.
And she gets all of the power from the High Lords. Crazy things happen.
And now she is a fae.
She wakes up and she's high fae. High fae.
I couldn't remember when we found that out, so I didn't want to spoil anything. Oh. But it is in the first book.
I think so.
Yeah, it is.
I think we find that out.
We find out she's high fae now, and now I'm like, okay, this series is about to be real interesting. Mm-hmm. Now that she's high fae, I got excited. I was like, there's so much more to this story. And there is.
Yeah.
So good, it's you guys. It's just
the beginning.
Okay, and then there's this one part towards the end of this book where she's speaking to Rysand. Basically, he's like, well, I'll see you soon because of that bargain we made. We have to come hang out with me for a week out of every month. Tamlon. I was going to say Tamlon, but then I was going to say Tamlin.
My sister says Tomlin.
I know.
Tomlin. I actually kind of like that better than Tamlin. Tomlin.
Yeah. Love it. And anyways, he's talking to Feyre. He's like, well, I'll see you soon. And
see you soon.
She's like, KKK.
Quick 3 weeks, and then I get you.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, and up until this point, Rysand is, you know, mysterious, very intelligent, very powerful High Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he always says the right thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's very in control. He's very poised.
You don't really know a lot about him.
Mysterious man. And all of a sudden, he, like, his eyes widen, and he, like, stumbles backwards.
Wide and wild.
Yeah. And you're like, what the heck? I talked to a few people who were like, I didn't even notice that part. It's a very small part.
It's super subtle. But
I was like, oh, like, what just happened? Like,
what did he see? Because he saw something in her.
And it freaked him out, and all of a sudden, he just winnowed away, like, without even saying bye.
Yeah.
He just disappeared. Like, he was so in shock.
She's like, that was interesting.
Like, weird, but okay.
Gotta move on with life.
So, if you don't know, we get answers in the second book. Some of those answers we don't get to until, like, way far into the second book, chapter 54 specifically. And
best chapter ever.
Yeah. And anyways, we won't give it away, but I ask every single person that has read this book immediately after prediction? They finish, there are a few questions that I always ask everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them. Why do you think, what's your prediction as to why Rysand got really startled and stumbled back in that moment?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think I remember guessing it.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend that convinced me to read these books, I was like, this has to be it. When is this gonna happen? This gonna happen? And she's like, just keep reading.
I have had to learn how to read and make predictions because it makes reading so much more fun if you're like, okay, I think this is gonna happen. And if you have a friend or somebody that you can tell these things to or talk about, it makes it way more fun to read.
Yeah.
Because I used to never make predictions while reading. I'm just here for
the vibes.
But I was really happy that I had made a prediction at this point. Like, I remember texting it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember what I had said, and I was close. I was very close. So
I think you were close. I don't remember what you said.
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
But a couple other questions. If you've read this book, we have some thought-provoking questions for you.
Yes, and we're not going to answer them. They're just for you to think about. So that was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
What's your prediction for Rysand stumbling back in that moment? What do you think he saw? And then another one. How did you feel about the moment Tamlin and Feyre got under the mountain?
Yeah.
How did you feel about that part?
Yeah.
And then you can say the last question.
And
We didn't really talk about this.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this. But if you remember, there's a pool of starlight in the spring court that Tamlin shows Feyre. Interesting. Why do you think that's there?
Why is that there?
I don't even think we ever get answers to that.
No.
But there's a lot of theories out there on the internet about why there's a pool of starlight in the spring court. So.
I mean, can we say? I don't think we can say those yet because they're not far enough along.
There's a lot of theories, but.
We'll talk about those in another episode.
Yeah.
So those are our questions for you if you've only read the first book. And if you have read other books, you can go back and kind of think about that and try to remember, oh, I didn't catch that, or I did guess that would happen. So anyway, this book changed our lives, changed our brain chemistry for sure. And
this book is just the beginning, you guys.
It is. It brought us to where we are now. And I will forever cherish this book, even though it's not the best one in the series. It is the one that started everything.
You have to read it. You have to read it. Mm-hmm. And then you have to read book 2.
And then 3, and then 4, and then 5, and then when 6 comes out. And then read all of Throne of Glass and Crescent City.
Yeah. Just know. Anyways, if anybody wants to borrow any of these books, let us know.
If there
we will lend them to you.
One thing that you could do from this book, what would you do?
Wait, what?
Like, if there's one thing that you could be a part of in this book, what would it be? I kind of want to try the fairy wine.
From this book, there's not that much.
I just want to know. But yeah, from this book.
Get excited for the next books because you just get to see a lot more of Prithian, because in this book we really just see the mortal realm and spring court under the mountain, and we don't see anything else. Guys, there is an entire world out there that we haven't seen that you are going to fall in love with in the next books. Just wait, you don't even know.
But from this book,
I don't know, maybe the pool of starlight.
Yeah,
I think the spring court is very, very beautiful.
Yeah, that the pool of starlight, I feel like, was a sacred part, and they just like get in it and swim in it and have a moment together, and I'm kind of like, oh, it's almost like it's holy water to me, because it doesn't belong there in the spring court, and it should be treated sacred, and they just act like it's a pool.
They're like, cannonball.
Here's my new diving board, Feyre. Watch me do these tricks.
You want to play mermaids?
Another part we didn't talk about is how Tamlin would play the fiddle under the mountain.
Tamlin playing the fiddle. No, he would play it. He didn't play it under the mountain.
Oh, maybe he didn't.
He played it for her at Kalanmai.
Oh, and yeah, like, that's when it
dance
was.
Dance for me, Feyre.
Yeah,
dance
trying to, like, seduce her with a fiddle. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it worked.
And she danced. Didn't she?
She did.
She did.
That she did. we love a musical man.
Yeah, we love the fiddle. It's our favorite instrument that a man could play. Ever. It's so attractive.
So hot.
Yeah.
If you play the fiddle, you're immediate 10 out of 10.
Maybe 11 out of 10, I would say. That's the one.
Can't get hotter than the fiddle.
No.
Maybe a flute.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
A flute-fiddle combination? Oh!
Wow. I mean, just can't get more attractive.
No. No. That's some great music right there. Anyway.
That's all. That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. But it's not. Go read the rest. Go read book 2. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please share it on your story or with friends and family. Like and subscribe.
Please share this with anyone you know that has read this book. Please.
It has been long awaited to talk about this on the podcast.
I know. I can't believe that we've waited 15 episodes to do anything about ACOTAR.
I know.
Because this is genuinely the reason we started this podcast, because...
But somehow we subtly added into every single episode.
The amount of times we've brought up characters from this book in our other episodes.
Specifically.
We have also talked about the fiddle.
Yeah. A lot.
Specifically Tamlin playing the fiddle in our other episodes.
Yeah. The memes but. Of this. I'm excited to post memes of Akhtar. They're the best. Anyway, yes. Give us a follow, eb.pod on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye. Bye.